Hi everyone, welcome to Madera Church Online. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Sophie Brayer, and my dad, Link Brayer, is actually going to be preaching the sermon today about home groups. If you have kids, feel free to check out Mr. Curtis, his story times, on Facebook or online. And please enjoy the message today.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Hey, Link.
Come on in, brother.
Thank you.
How did you do just finding the place? Okay. Okay, well, welcome to our humble abode. Let me give you the 5-cent tour. This is our living room, the place where we like to hang out, our dining room, our kitchen. Would you like a glass of lemonade? All right. Well, I sure do appreciate you coming by today and just hanging out with me, spending a little bit of time. I know you're a busy guy. Wait a minute. Time out, brother. I just realized nobody knows what we're doing.
Well, we appreciate the Brayers inviting us into their home today. And we actually are recording in this location for a purpose. Wanted to introduce you to Link Brayer, who is the Madera Church Group Director and also our Outreach Director. And Link's going to be sharing a lot with us today about how important doing life together is to Madera Church.
That's right. Thanks, Bill, for the introduction.
Yeah.
And yeah, you did not click on the wrong video. This isn't some low-budget Sarita Parade of Homes show. I wanted to invite you into my home because we're going to be talking about one of the key things that matters to Madera Church most, and that's home groups. Pastor Bill did an awesome job these last 3 weeks kind of giving us a picture of what the heart of Madera Church is going to be, and that is the first sermon was, we keep God's truth central in all our activities. So really focusing on God's word. The second week was, we maintain prayer as the foundation of all that we do. And that's key. I mean, we don't do anything without praying and asking that God would direct us. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this video right now. You know, originally we were going to launch the church several months from now, but God, as we prayed about it, directed us to start doing these messages online. And then last week, Pastor Bill shared about how we worship, and we do that corporately, together. Lord willing, we're going to be doing it in Continental School on Sunday in the months to come, and we also do it as individuals. And so today is a continuation of that series. We don't want to be just a church with small groups. We want to be a church of small groups. We want as much participation as possible for all of our members and attenders to be involved, because we feel that that's a key way that believers grow together and in their walk with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Link, and he is going to give us today's message and continue to share how important doing life together is to Madera Church. But let's ask the Lord to join us before he digs in for us. Father God, we just want to take a moment and thank you for the opportunity we have to share another value of Madera Church. Lord, we believe that you've made us to be relational people, and we're grateful that we have an opportunity to do life together through a group ministry. And so we just ask, God, that you would speak through Link today, help him to explore some of your truth, to be able to challenge us to consider how important this is. And so we ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us now, Lord. Help us not just to be listeners of your truth, but help us to find ways to actually apply it to our life. And so we just commit this time to you. We ask that you be glorified through it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, take it away, Link.
Thanks, Bill. All right. Well, thank you again for joining me today. It's such a privilege to be part of the leadership team at Madera Church, and I'm excited to share God's word with you today. So the first thing I wanted to share is our value statement. If you go to the MaderaChurch.org website, you can check this out for yourself, as well as all the other statements that Pastor Bill has preached on the last 3 weeks. And the value statement for home groups reads like this. We believe that close relationships are key to spiritual growth and effective service. As a result, we have intentionally made home groups a priority ministry. We encourage all to participate regularly for authentic fellowship, learning, counseling, care, and accountability. And the discussion of God's Word in home groups will lead to mentoring relationships, productive prayer, and the opportunity to serve together. So that's our statement, and there's a lot in that statement. And today I'm going to try to do my best just to touch on some key elements relating to why we believe home groups are so important. First point I really want to make today is that home groups build close, encouraging relationships. And this is so neat. As I was thinking about home groups, where do we always start as believers? We start with God. God is all about relationships. Even before He created the universe, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He enjoyed this perfect and holy relationship within Himself. We call that the Godhead, or as Christians, we also refer to it as the Trinity. And so, as we think of the big story of the Bible, it's all about relationships, and it expands on relationships. God made people in His image so that He could love and interact with them, and so that they would be involved in His amazing creative plan. And then, of course, as Mr. Curtis shared a couple weeks ago, if you have watched any of his videos, the fall happened. The entrance of sin into God's creation happened, and that created this brokenness and this division between our relationship with God. But that led eventually to God's most intimate expression of relating with us. He became one of us. And Jesus the Son lived and ultimately died in our place to show just how much He loved us and valued relationship with us. That's what the cross is all about. Through Jesus, God offered forgiveness. He offered fellowship and a new and transformed eternal life. And if you read through the story of the Bible in Revelation, the ultimate plan that God has for us is that we will relate with Him forever in a perfect place. And so, you know, man, as I think about where we're at now in our world with the coronavirus, it's pretty obvious to me that this desire for connection that we have is just part of who we are as human beings. And I think we can all agree, even those of us who maybe are introverted and homebodies, that we probably all had more social isolation, more social distancing, more sheltering at home than we ever wanted. And, you know, I pray that at some point we can all look back and say, oh, praise God, that's a thing of the past. And I'm not even going to try to state a position on how we should reopen our communities, but as many people say, the struggle is real. God has hardwired us to want to have close relationships, to be together. And I believe it's true that relationships are one of the key things that give our lives meaning. And close relationships, they can't be replicated with things like Facebook or Instagram or even cool technology like Zoom meetings. I love hitting the like button on Facebook when I see a cool post from one of my friends, but that doesn't compare to being able to have coffee, being able to have a face-to-face conversation, being able to hug somebody that I care about. And I can't wait for that. So let's look at God's Word today, and we're going to just see what it has to say about real and authentic fellowship. We're going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And to give a little bit of background on what this passage is about, we need to remember that in the Gospels, we see the story of Jesus' life and His death on the cross and His resurrection, and then ultimately His ascension, His return to heaven with the Father. And before Jesus left His disciples, at the very end of the Gospels, He promised them that He would send a helper and a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would minister to and actually indwell believers. So 40 days after his ascension, on the Jewish festival of Pentecost, which is this huge celebration that the nation of Israel would have, and literally people from all over the known world would come to Jerusalem, come to the temple and celebrate this, it just so happened that on that day, the believers, these people that were still kind of confused because Jesus had left, but they had put their faith in him, they were all gathered together in one place. And Acts chapter 2 says that suddenly a mighty wind, something that sounded almost like a tornado, entered into the place where they were gathered, and all of a sudden tongues or flames of fire settled over all the people that were believers, and almost spontaneously they went out into the streets where all these thousands of people were gathered for this festival, and they started sharing who God was and what he had done through the person of Jesus Christ. And not only did they share, but they were sharing in dozens of different languages that they didn't know. It was miraculous. And then on top of that, the leader of the apostles, Peter, who had just a little more than a month earlier denied Jesus three times, was terrified that he was going to be arrested for even knowing who Jesus was. He stood up in the middle of this crowd of thousands of people and preached a sermon about who Jesus is, about how he died for sins. And he called people to repent, to believe, and to be baptized in Jesus' name. And 3,000 people that day got saved. It was awesome. So I'm sharing that background because now we're going to go to the very next thing that happened. And that's our text for today. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says, "And they," that is these new believers and the people that were gathered together that had been followers of Jesus, "they were all continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Isn't that a wonderful passage? I just love this passage because in the book of Acts, it records that starting even at the very beginning of the new church, one of the first things they did was home groups. There weren't any beautiful buildings with steeples and pews and stained glass windows and state-of-the-art sound systems. But these folks from the get-go, they devoted themselves to some essential things. They studied God's word. They fellowshiped together. They broke bread. And they prayed. And as a result, they experienced what it says in Acts is a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but besides having a desire to understand and experience God's love personally in my life, that personal relationship that I have with him, the other thing that I have a deep desire to do is to connect with other people and to experience and share the love that God has with them and together. I love Jesus' promise in the Gospels. He said, wherever two or three of his people are gathered together, he's in the midst of them. The Holy Spirit is at work and doing life transformation as we gather together. So as we look at how we do church now in the 21st century, I think we sometimes miss the simplicity and the power of how these first century Christians did it. You know, many churches today do an amazing job of creating an engaging worship experience on Sunday. And like the early church in Acts, many churches teach God's word well. But the church, the living body of Christ, is not a building and it's not a program. It's people, people that are believing in eternal life, empowered by that eternal life, and then sharing that eternal life with others. So when I think of our corporate time of worship together on Sunday and how it relates to home groups, I love how one of the home group pastors at a church in San Diego, North Coast Church, helped describe it. He said, our corporate gathering on Sunday is like a classroom lecture hour where we get key instruction. And when we go and gather in homes during the week together in home groups, it's like taking that information and testing it in the laboratory. We take what we know and we put it into practice. Pastor Bill, I'm so glad that he's my buddy. I'm so glad that he's my friend. And I can't wait for many of you who haven't actually got to relate with him in person yet get to meet him, because he does a wonderful job preaching and teaching God's truth in the Bible. And when we come together in song and we hear the worship team, I know Victor and Victor and Eli and Ricardo and Beverly, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much better when we don't have to watch it on TV. We get life-changing information that we can apply to our hearts. We get ministered to in song, and that's important to corporately gather. But if that's where our learning and our living out of truth ends, we're missing out. Meeting together in a home, sharing some food, building some friendships, dialoguing and discussing how does God's word apply, and then asking God in prayer to help us be enabled to live out God's truth inside our groups and outside, that's bringing our faith into the laboratory of real life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, God's word says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Often we need that extra encouragement to make the transition from knowledge to action. And that verse says, hey, let's think of ways to motivate each other. And then it says, let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do. I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed that walking or running or doing any kind of strenuous physical activity by yourself is twice as hard as when you do it with somebody else? A few weeks ago, I went on a mountain biking trip with some friends, and this was my first time in literally over a decade of trying to ride a mountain bike again. I was into it when I was younger and when I was in much better shape. And so I had just recently bought a used mountain bike on Craigslist, and to be honest, I was scared. My buddies are pretty hardcore riders, and we went to a place up in Tucson called Fantasy Island. It's this huge mountain bike park off Kolb Road, and the trails are steep, up and down, and it's full of big loose rocks, and really the trail is only 3 feet wide in most parts. And what makes it even more fun is there's cholla and cacti on both sides of the trail. So if you miss the turn, you're going to encounter something pretty picky. Well, I'm really happy to say that I survived the ride without wiping out, without tangling with a cactus. But I can also honestly say I'm not sure I would have even gone on that mountain biking ride had it not been for the encouragement of my friends. These guys have awesome state-of-the-art bikes, and they ride fast, and they're more experienced. And this trail was 7 miles of doing this stuff. It took a couple hours for us to do this ride. And the neat thing was that on the 7 mile ride, very regularly, I was the last one you know, and they would stop intermittently and they would say, hey, Link, you're doing great. Yeah, you didn't make it up that last slope. You had to walk your bike. But guess what? This is what's coming up next. There's going to be a curve. There's going to be this thing. We're about halfway there. And there were a couple times on that ride where my brakes started making these weird noises. My handlebars got misaligned. But my buddies were there to help me out and to wait while I walked my bike because the trail was too steep to climb. And you know what's neat is that home groups create a place for that same kind of thing. Close and encouraging relationships that motivate us to keep going. Well, I also want to look at another aspect of home groups. If you look back at Madeira Church's statement, it says we want to foster authentic fellowship. So the second main point is that home groups create an environment for authentic fellowship. Authentic, what does that mean? The dictionary defines it as of undisputed origin or genuine. If we desire authentic fellowship as believers, we have to understand that its origin isn't from us, it's from God. Just like that rushing wind that came into that room full of believers in Acts chapter 2, the grace of God has miraculously invaded the life of every believer. And he loved us, it says in Scripture, while we were still sinners. He freely gave us Jesus' eternal life so that we could be reconciled, that we could have this repaired relationship with him. So in the context of home groups, we can experience what the believers in Acts experienced. Again, I love that phrase. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. In authentic fellowship, we remind each other of God's amazing grace in our own lives. And we practice sharing that amazing grace with each other. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You see, I can't grow in the Holy Spirit-empowered grace unless I have other people to practice grace with. I've heard it said, in the church there can be no lone rangers. We're all parts of one body. We function together. And as a body, if we were just all by ourselves, we really couldn't function well. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul often challenged believers with what I call the one another's. Over and over in his letters to different churches, he encourages them and challenges them. He says, love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, encourage one another. But if you're not with another, it ain't going to happen. You need to have people to practice that on. As I was thinking about what small groups do and what authentic relationships are like, I couldn't help but think of a rock tumbler. And you might say, what are you talking about? Well, I checked out some YouTube videos on how do people polish rocks. And it was fascinating. There was this guy that had some very rough looking agate rocks. I mean, they were jaggedy and not shiny at all. And step by step, he showed his viewers how rocks are polished. So he'd pour these rocks into this big cylindrical tumbler, and then he'd add some grit, and it started out as 60 grade grit, if you're familiar with how sandpaper works. And then he'd add some water, and he'd close the lid, and that thing would tumble for an entire week. I mean, 7 days of tumbling. Then he'd pour the rocks out, he'd rinse it out, and then he'd add a different grade of grit, and he'd put the water back in, and he did this 3 different times, until finally, the rocks were now ready for what he called the burnishing phase, where he actually shaved ivory soap and put it in with the rocks, and it started to clean them. It started to polish them. And then the very final stage, he actually poured in granulated sugar. And we're talking a full month later, like 6 cycles of tumbling. But when he took those rocks out after that process, they were reflective. They were shiny. All the edges were rubbed off, and you could see the colors and the patterns that were inside those rocks, and they were beautiful. I mean, it was like something you'd find at the Gem and Mineral Show. Well, that's kind of a wonderful picture of how small groups work. God's intention is to bring believers together to display His life-transforming power in and through us. And sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's awkward. We have rough edges, and we tend to kind of bump into each other. But God's grace shown to us is now given the opportunity to be shown through us. In home groups, there's this opportunity to let down the walls and be honest. We can share real prayer requests and real struggles. We can enter into one another's lives and confess sin and be accountable and offer encouragement and learn to ask for and offer forgiveness. Home groups can truly be the real world laboratory for our faith. And I love that it's not accidental that home groups meet in homes. A home is a beautiful and a messy metaphor for us as people. You know, outside of this picture frame that the camera is filming, if you were to look into my kitchen sink, you would see that there's some messy dishes in there. If I were to give you not the 5-cent tour, but the 10-cent tour and take you upstairs, you would realize that I didn't make my bed today and that there's some dirty laundry on the floor and that there's a kitty litter box that needs to be scooped. And that's just part of real life. When we get together as a church beyond just Sunday, where we put on our shiny, happy smiles and our Sunday best, when we go a step beyond that, it's a reminder that we really are still in need of grace, and that God's grace is still available as we seek Him together and we love each other. And that brings me to one last ingredient as we look at our statement for home groups that I'd like to highlight. If we look at that statement again, I'm going to read it one more time. One of the sentences says, "We encourage all to participate regularly for authentic fellowship, learning, counseling, care, and accountability." So our heart for home groups is to foster these close relationships, to have authentic, real fellowship with one another, and then lastly, to serve and care for each other. So, last point, home groups give us a special opportunity to effectively care and serve one another. In the Acts 2 passage, it says that the believers were sharing. They were actually selling stuff and bringing it together and taking care of one another in a very practical and material way. They shared time, they shared food, they shared their possessions. And honestly, I was thinking about this. Here in America, we might not lack for material things like many people in other parts of the world do. But navigating difficult things in life is not something that Americans are immune to. And I think we all know that. Things like having a new baby, or grieving the death of a loved one, or going through a very difficult season in your marriage, maybe even going through a divorce, dealing with an extremely difficult child and trying to help them as they navigate through their teen years, or it could be battling an addiction. These are all things that kind of happen behind closed doors and behind the walls of people's homes that we don't often address. But these are the parts of life that really none of us should bear alone. It's neat. Pastor Bill preached through parts of Romans chapter 12 last week. And if we continue reading that same chapter, Paul doesn't pull any punches. He says in Romans chapter 12, "Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection." and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And I think about this, especially in Sarita in Green Valley. You know, most of us who live here aren't native Arizonans. I'm from Wisconsin. Go Packers. Bill's behind the camera. He's like, no, go Bears. My wife is from Colorado, and we met in Kansas City. And I have a very large extended family. I literally have like 28 cousins. But you know how many of them live here in Arizona? Zero. So when I've gone through difficult seasons in my life, and I really needed practical or emotional support, you know who my family was? It was my brothers and sisters in Christ, right here in my community. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul praises God for something. And I'm just going to read these verses because they're some of my favorites. Paul says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that, the purpose being, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." Isn't that a beautiful design that God has for his people? He shares his love with us as we gather together and as we experience close relationships and an authentic fellowship. He uses common and simple things like a living room couch, or like a kitchen table, or a refrigerator, or a simple meal, or a well-timed phone call. And he uses regular people who are willing to just show up. All of these things give us a better picture of what God is like as we spend time with each other. Our home groups, the only way that we can minister that God ministers to his people? No, of course not. But if the church is the body of Christ, and each of us are unique body parts, then getting together regularly in an informal and comfortable setting to share life together, that just makes good sense, doesn't it? Personally, I've been in home groups for almost 30 years with several different churches. Friends from home groups have helped me and my family move several times, like literally loaded trucks with all of my furniture. They've been there when my wife gave birth to our daughters. They were there when Abby and I actually went through some very, very difficult seasons in our marriage. And some of these friends were there even a couple years ago when I gave a eulogy at my dad's funeral. These friends rejoiced with us when we rejoiced, and they wept with us when we wept. And we've been able to comfort and encourage others just as we were comforted. Really, home groups are just a great way for the church to be the church. So close relationships, authentic fellowship, and genuine care. Wow, that's what the body of Christ was made to do and can do, even in this broken world, even in this hurting community where we're in the midst of coronavirus. It made me think of some friends of ours that live right here in Sarita. We've known them for years. And every time I go over to their house, I look up above their dining room, and there's a little sign, and it says, "We might not have it all together, but together we have it all." And to me, that's what the body of Christ is. It's a bunch of imperfect people, covered with God's grace, indwelt with his Spirit, living, loving, and serving together for his glory as a community. and it happens corporately, but the laboratory where things get really interesting and they get a little messy, but it gets real and there's this sense of awe, that happens more often than not in small groups. So as a closing challenge, I'd just like you to please, if you're watching this video, consider joining with us as Madeira Churches launches our first ever small groups. And Lord willing, sometime in June, we're going to be able to do that. You can go to madeirachurch.org, and there's going to be something that you can click on where you can fill out a home group interest form. You can tell us what season of life you're in. Do you need child care? What time of the week? What time of the day? We want to know all that stuff because we already have some leaders just waiting in the wings that want to invite you into their homes, just like you've come and joined me in my home today. We're excited to see that happen. And yes, we are very carefully praying about different ways home groups can and should meet during this time of the pandemic. As state and local authorities keep us informed, we'll let you know what the best options for meeting will be. Maybe in homes with very careful guidelines in place, maybe online for a time. But one way or another, we want you to be part of a home group. It's one of the things that matters most to Madeira Church. Thanks for joining with me, and please join me as I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a relational God, that you love us, and because of what your Son Jesus has done, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us as we put our faith in him, we can relate well with one another. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church just thrive because of home groups. We look forward to a time soon when we will be able to be together, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so glad you're here to worship with us. We have some awesome songs to sing today for the Lord, because holy, holy, holy is he. So join us now.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you higher, lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, we're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
God sent His Son. But greater still. life